Taste of Country Nights with Evan Paul on demand. I love this episode. We get an in-depth interview with a 90s country music icon. Jody Messina stopped by. She's just announced that she's putting out her first new album in over a decade. She's been on the road this whole time, even as a single mom. We get into that and much more during this episode of Taste of Country Nights on demand. We got Jody Messina back in the house.
Here we are.
How are you?
I'm good.
Last time I talked to you, we were talking about Cole Swindell doing Heads Carolina.
Yeah.
and here we are because you got brand new stuff coming out.
I do. We just finished it. Well, I say we just finished a new record. I have two more vocals to do, but yeah. Besides that, the album's done.
Two more songs or two more?
We track the music, so I just have to go in and do the vocals right now.
Ooh, do you ever ride around and just listen to the instrumentals all day?
No. That would be so boring. But I do. No, I said that to be funny, but in all reality, I do run through them before we go in to do vocals.
Okay.
You know what I mean? That way it just goes by faster.
That makes sense.
In the studio, you can just sing right through them.
And it's been more than a decade since your last new record.
It's been a long time.
Yeah, I know you've lived a lot since then. Give fans maybe that have lost touch an update on what's going on.
Oh my gosh. Here's 10 years in 10 seconds. Well, I'm a single mom. I have two boys. I have been raising them. That's been the bulk of my life. We've been touring nonstop on the weekends. The crowds have been amazing. The fans have been awesome. They come out, and we're still out touring right now. We do a lot of goofy things on social media.
I love Nelly. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I love this version of you.
Oh, and the dances. You got to see the dances. We're about to revive Hannah Montana because her anniversary's coming up. So, yes. Dance down, side to side, shuffle, and whatever. So it's going to be fun. We did that dance last summer, but we'll revive it for the anniversary of that.
They come on tour with you?
They do. Oh, they always have. Okay. Since they were born, since they were infants, they've come and then... I remember I think it was Larry the Cable Guy showed me like how he kept his kids in their bunk with like a little cage door that slid open, which we did that when they were, when they could just start to walk and then, crawl out of their bunk. You didn't want that happening if someone's hopping down from the top bunk and stuff. So I travel with the band. So my kids have grown up talking to adults, So when adults have conversations with them, they're like, wow, it's really neat how they can communicate with adults. Most kids, get nervous or whatever. And I'm like, oh, that's all they've done. Right. I don't know if the kids have grown up with adults or if my band has just been hanging out with kids. So, but yeah.
Is your goal for this album the same as previous goals were for previous albums?
Well, we've just been getting so many people requesting music. I was just like, I didn't know anybody wanted to hear new music. So, I spent the last year writing about things that I've learned over the last 10 years, some wisdom that I've gathered over the last 10 years, situations, specific situations, broad situations, different outlooks on the world. We have a song called Don't Let Them Hide Your Beautiful, which I believe is the second single. And that one is just about all the pressure around what people expect of you, people's expectations. And so the song itself is like, don't let them hide, you're beautiful. And I actually wrote it about an artist friend of mine who was really getting grilled about, don't do this, don't do that. You got to look this way, you got to dress that way, you got to be at this place, you got to do it. And she's like, I just can't do anything right. And I was like, whatever you do, don't let them hide, you're beautiful.
Who?
I'm not telling you who it is.
A new artist?
No, kind of established, kind of new, kind of established.
If I guessed it, would you tell me?
No.
All right, I won't guess it. What's the most personal song that's going to be on the record?
Oh, there's a bunch of them. There's the one called Welcome to the Show, which is kind of like a spoof off of a circus. It's like metaphors. Golly.
Hello.
A song called Welcome to the Show. It's got all these metaphors, like back to back, like lining it up with a circus. And it just talks about, I have to let you figure out what it talks about, but, or I could spoil the secret now. Well, it all depends on how you edit this. It talks about meeting the new source of a narcissistic ex. And it's like, I've been to that show. I've seen that show. You know, I know where you're going. I know where all the secrets hide. Be careful and welcome to the show. So there's that one. Don't let them hide your beautiful. There's a song called If He Knew Jesus, which that was really, I walked into the writing session. I had two guys writing that song with me and I spit out the first line and then I started crying.
Wow.
And they're like, oh man, this is going to be a long day. But no, it wasn't. I mean, we came out of that with such a great song. And I mean, we did it last time, I think, right when I wrote it, we did it in a amphitheater in Utah and got like a 3-minute standing ovation. It was like uncomfortably long for the ovation for that song. So yeah, that's a really like, you know, like standing there naked song. We got all sorts of stuff. Message in a Bottle is a great one. Did you hear that one?
I did. Just a clip. Just
you
a clip.
You only find the wreckage if you're looking for that message in a bottle. Yeah, that's, and we didn't want that to be a finger pointer. We didn't want to be like, hey, you shouldn't do this. We wanted it to be like, I've been where you're going.
Oh, okay.
And it's 1, 2, 3 down, go and grab another round. But anyways, so there's that one. I mean, they're all kind of personal. Oh, we have a song called Where the Cowboys Ride. And it's, I don't know if I should say this. It's probably not nice. But I wrote it about, because we play a lot of rodeos, and cowboys are tough. They are rough. They are tough. They work hard, right? They're not entitled. They're not bougie. They just get out and put in a hard day's work. And so I had gone out to where there was a lot of country tourists, and everybody's dressing the part, but I'm like, I bet they haven't worked a day in their life.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we wrote a song called I Want to Know Where the Cowboys Ride.
That's like, funny.
Because they ain't around here on a Friday night. Give me grit, give me tough. Give me what the real ones are made of. I want to know where the cowboys ride. Anyways.
I'd imagine that'll be pretty fun playing live.
It's our spoof on the weekend cowboy, the one that dresses up, you know, in the cowboy garb to go to the bar that doesn't have a clue how to, you know, slug hay around or whatever.
Well, and one of the songs you mentioned, the Jesus.
If You Knew Jesus?
Yes. Do you think you could do a full country Christian album?
Oh, me? I don't know. I mean, my faith is a huge part of my walk. And so I do incorporate those messages even when the name of Christ isn't mentioned. Things like you can't find, you know, you'll only find the wreckage if you're looking for the message in a bottle. Mm. You know what I mean? Or don't let them hide your beautiful, like you're loved no matter what. Or, there's so many songs where you don't have to, but my faith, you can tell where my faith lies because of the messages behind the songs.
So what changed in your life that allowed you to make this whole album that you didn't do it in the past decade?
Well, I think my kids are a little older, so I can work more at home. I was very into my kids' lives. So as far, not, you know, helicopter parent, but I volunteer at school and I help with their homework and I don't leave my kids home alone. And because I have two boys and that just leads to trouble. Mm-hmm. So they need some sort of someone watching over them. So I have the time to do it. I have just the want, really. A lot of people have been asking, you know, hey, you should record, you know, as I was writing mm-hmm. more, people are like, man, you should put this on a record. You should put this on a record. You know, we'd love to hear you cut this, you know? And it's like, oh, all right.
But does self-doubt creep in at any time in making this new record? Like, do people still want to hear me?
Oh, yeah. Every day. That's why I'm kind of blown away when, when people say stuff. You know, I just got a text from someone at Universal and they asked me to do something. And like, we're so excited for this season. And I was like, really? I was like, I didn't know you knew I existed. And there's a couple other things that have been going on where I was brought to tears because I was like, oh, well, I just feel invisible because I'm home and I'm doing laundry most every day. Every day. Again, I have two boys and two dogs, so I'm constantly doing laundry. As a matter of fact, I remember my son about 5 years ago walked into the laundry room and knows that I love natural lighting. And there's one little window in the laundry room and he's like, Mom, I wish there were more windows in here. And I was like, why, babe? And he's like, Well, you just spend so much time in here. It would be nice if you had all those windows.
I just read the average American does 3 hours worth of laundry a week.
Come on. Yes. I have more than that. Yeah. I have to. Not only are they boys, but they play hockey and they're dirty and they eat like slobs. And so, yeah, there's a lot of laundry to be done in my house.
Can anybody address that?
Who?
Of am I okay?
Wow.
Can I make it again?
No, it does not. So I do a lot of work with young adults and teenagers. And I live in this city where, you know, we're surrounded by the music industry. And there are a lot of people that feel like they don't matter and they feel like their life doesn't count. And there's been, you know, a few people that have taken their own lives in the past year or so, where they just feel invisible. And so I called it, when I wrote it, I said, it's the teenager's lament. Mm. Because the song is, can anybody see me? Can anybody find me? Can anybody tell I'm not this strong? Does anybody need me? Do they even know I'm hiding? Can anybody feel me hanging on? That's can awesome. Anybody? And that was, and I think I know the girl I'm going to have work on, like, be the girl by herself in, like, the content and the video for that song, because teenagers do feel unseen and not heard, you know, and that's just a common thing I'm hearing through all the teens that I work with, is like, well, I don't matter. Oh, well, so-and-so doesn't hear me. And, oh, all these girls are doing this and that. And teenage girls, woo, they're mean. They're a new kind of mean. They were mean when I was a teenager. Now they're like really mean. Mean with the internet, too. I'm like, so no, that's what I call it, the teenager's lament, because I do work, again, like I said, with young adults and teenagers, and they just, so many are lost. They just want to know they matter.
I saw your glow up video. Did you see that on Instagram?
Did I see it? Which one's the glow up?
It's you like doing all your workouts, saying come in every day. Do it.
Today, it was so funny because I came and sat down on this stool and I was like no one was looking, but you could see me. I don't know if you use this video for anything, but I sat down and I was like, yesterday was leg day.
Oh.
Which I can't stand leg day. And then she changed up all the routines. So like every 6 weeks, I will change up my routine. I have 4 to 6 weeks. And so it was all new exercises. And I'm like, and it's not even the second day. Second day after is the worst pain for me when I train a muscle. And so, yeah. And so I was like, oh, second day for chest and shoulders. I was like, I can't reach behind me. For those of you watching at home, this is as far as it goes. You can't do it. And then when I get up, it's going to be the fun part. Because she stretched me out today. She's like, oh, you're going to be sitting a lot today. I'm like, maybe I'll be standing. She's like, you'll probably be sitting, so we should probably stretch you up. When I get up will be the funny part, because that's when my legs go. Like, if I ever got arrested or pulled over, not arrested, I would get arrested. If I ever got pulled over on the day after leg day, I would be probably arrested. I could not walk a straight line.
They'd be like, what's wrong with you?
And I mean, there'd just be random times. I'm like, okay. Like, I don't push through the pain. I give into it. And I'm like, okay, I'm just going to wobble.
What inspired the whole effort there?
I started to see pictures of myself and I didn't recognize myself. And my assistants here, I was like, I wouldn't let people take pictures. I'm like, stop taking pictures of me. I don't even know who that is. It's so gross. You know, I just, bleh. And so I was like, I'm going to do something about it. And it's been 2 years. This isn't like, hey, let's pop a pill and be skinny in a month. This is like, keep going, keep going, keep going. And I was like, today was tricep day. Today was tricep day, people. Let's just show you the triceps. Oh. Here we go. Oh, yeah. Wait. We got this going on.
Oh, wow.
But I'm like, oh, it's a perfect day to wear sleeves.
Oh, yeah, she's ripped.
Because,
yeah, because she's ripped.
Because it was tricep day, so this is pump from today. Dude. It doesn't always look this pump, but it's pump today.
You're ripped. I don't want to say anything wrong. You kicked my ass.
Oh, no. But good anyways, Lord. It's been a process. So, and I have a goal. You know, I used to be really shredded. And so now I'm going to start running. I was really lean, too.
You're going to be even more shredded?
That's kind of my goal.
Okay.
You know, somebody said, had written in, and they're like, okay, you're really inspiring. I want Carrie Underwood's legs and your arms. And I was like, oh, I'd love Carrie Underwood's legs, but she likes leg day. That's the problem. Yeah. The only problem I know about Carrie Underwood is she likes leg day. We couldn't get along. Not at a workout, that's for sure. But man, I mean, my legs are pretty, they're in pretty good shape, but hers are like, you could see every muscle of the, like, her quads. Yeah. And yeah, so.
How's that affected your live show over the past years?
Well, I will tell you this. This new record, I keep saying, okay, I got to start back running. I do cardio, but I got to start that long running stuff because I run all over the stage. And okay. This new stuff's not easy to sing live. Because, you know, when you're in the studio, you're just standing there. But when you're live on a festival stage, you're running from side to side. So you got to start, you know, running cardio.
What do you require backstage now?
Oh, well, I must have, what is it? A case of water. What do we have backstage? LaCroix every now and then. Oh, we do a lot of protein stuff. So, but it's not like, I won't go on without my Quest chips.
Right,
you know
right,
what I mean?
Right.
But I don't eat a lot because my days are so busy. And then I try to eat really clean. I just had avocado toast. You'll see that on my social platform. I'm going to do a day in the life of. But anyways, I just had avocado toast in your parking lot. But there's not a lot of protein in that. So I, because I'm trying to shred out, I can work out all day long, every day, and not get muscles unless I get the protein. So I'll do little cheats. So sometimes there's protein bars, protein water, protein shakes, and Quests, like the Quest chips or something like that backstage. Okay. And Liquid IV, we try to stay hydrated too.
That has changed.
We try to stay healthy.
What was your rider when you first came on to the scene? Has it changed a lot?
Not a lot, no. Because I used to have, like, baked chicken or grilled chicken and that okay. kind of stuff. M&M's. The guys get junk. M&M's, peanut M&M's. The kids had something for a while. What do the kids have? The soda. Like, they do. I don't do a lot of soda. Like, if I drink a soda, everybody's like, whoa, she's having a soda. And I'll usually take, like, two sips of it and then give it to my kid, but. Not really. Yeah, water, coffee.
That's fair.
Protein drinks. A glass of wine here and there.
Which female new country artist do you co-sign nowadays? Like, who are you like, this is it?
Oh, gosh, there's so many. Ella Laney, Megan, the girls. I was just listening to Morgan Wallen. It's so funny because I was like, I'm like, this song is so old, and I'm still listening to it. Well, of course, who am I to talk, right? Just to listen to my stuff, it's really old. It's older than you. So, yeah, there's a lot of new stuff. Alexandra Kay is doing really well. She's really nice. And, yeah, the stuff she writes about is just, like, opens her soul up. So there's a lot of new artists.
Finally, we have to know, is your give a damn still busted?
It all depends on the situation. All depends on the situation. I will say I've learned to say no. And I've also, you know, I had the writer from the Rolling Stone, from Rolling Stone magazine asked me about the last 10 years. And I said, or since the last record. And I said, you know what? I find that I'm content. So when I do this, it's just for the enjoyment of it and the love of the people, you know, is why I do it. I'm content. I'm not content doing laundry. Let's be honest. But I mean, I like being with my kids and I like, you know, doing life with them and teaching lessons. We had a great lesson about homework last night. So, yeah. So all of
That's
that to say, I'm content most times. But there are situations where, you know. It can be broken. My give a damn can be broken. Busted.
Well, thank you so much for coming by. We're very excited about the new stuff.
Well, thank you.
All right, let's bring in Billy Dukes to talk about this rare interview with a country icon that we had.
Jody Messina. And what strikes me right off the bat was like the energy difference between this visit with Jody and like the last time we visited with her. It was remarkable.
Yeah, she was so energetic this time. And what I noticed, like editing and going through the interview, is normally it, you can't get artists to sing in an interview because their voice isn't ready. We couldn't get Joe DiMassina to stop singing. She kept going into song, and that's when I'm like, she's happy as a hummingbird here, and you could really tell.
It's like, Jody, stop it. You're going to get us demonetized.
Don't sing for more than 14 seconds. We're going to get our copyright.
I mean, she's singing. She was dancing. If you're just listening to the audio, when I guess you are, I mean, you don't see the video. She took off her jacket at one point and then was kind of flexing, right?
Yeah, she's ripped. She's definitely ripped. And I read somewhere that, and I didn't talk to her about this, obviously, if you heard the interview, but a follow-up I read a couple days after the interview that she's lost between 70 and 95 pounds. That's according to America Online. That's what they said when they spoke to her. So that's a lot of weight for, you know, and she wasn't that big, you know, to begin with, you know. So, like, and at her age, to be able to do that and continue touring and keep up with the kids and everything. One thing I didn't ask, because I probably should know this, so I'm going to ask you, what happened with the father of her children?
A divorce, it appears to be acrimonious. I don't think it was really ever made public, like the details of it. She okay. does. She's done a pretty good job of really, really locking down some details about her life. She had a cancer diagnosis several years ago, and even the type of cancer she locked down. People didn't know if it was skin cancer, breast cancer, you know, whatever type of cancer. And she never really dove into that fight and that battle and what that looked like. And the same thing is true for her husband. She's never gone into it, although we got a little bit of a... she said she wrote that song about a narcissistic ex, right? Like, that felt like a little bit of a glimpse. To me, anyway.
Unless she's, like, talking about an ex from middle school, but I guess we should assume it's...
Yeah, right. I think... I don't know, but I mean, just given that she it's felt like she's lived... She said she wrote these songs based on the life she's been living. I kind of got a sense that maybe that was the one place in the interview or in the album where we got a feel for the divorce. I did get the sense, though, kind of over the last several years, that it was a nasty end to a marriage. It wasn't like a mutual respect parting type of situation.
Okay. I thought it was interesting how her two boys have been on the road with her like every weekend for the past decade. Like, that is crazy to me.
She must homeschool, right?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, and that's a lot easier nowadays, I guess, yeah, to homeschool. But I'm wondering, does she homeschool them, or is there like a tutor on the road?
Well, I guess she kind of said she's volunteers at her kid's school, so maybe she doesn't homeschool them. Maybe they have like some online correspondence they can do. But yeah, that's a good question. You know, the first time I met Jody, she was pregnant with one of those boys. This was probably in like 2008-ish or so. And what I remember from that conversation was, not only was she was pregnant, like the next day or the next weekend, she was fixing to go run a half marathon. I think she was going to run like the Nashville half. And she was pumped about it because she had it all figured out, so that at various points along the course, she had friends or people willing to let her come into her house to use the bathroom, because, you know, pregnant women got to pee. And she had that all kind of mapped out, so she didn't have to use like the standard runner's porta-johns that they set up.
That's great. That's dedication right there. It sounds like, too, based off, I would have never guessed Larry the Cable Guy telling her how to take kids on a tour. How crazy is that?
Yeah, there was a Larry the Cable Guy, a Hannah Montana reference in this interview. Like, she was kind of bringing back the 2000 vibes.
Yeah, like, what is that? That's crazy to me. And I wonder, you know, if her kids are going to get into music. We don't really know that, or do we know that?
Unknown, I guess, at this point. So, and I haven't really looked at the news since, but on Thursday during this big event in Nashville that happens every year called CRS. It's sort of big, a country radio, country music sort of industry trade show. Ella Langley and Jody Messina teamed up for a conversation, kind of a back and forth. They have like, they do this every year. They have two artists talk to each other. And I wonder if maybe she shared a little bit more about some of those details about how she sort of balances personal and professional life on that stage. She very well may have.
Okay.
But yeah, she maybe also mentioned Ella during your interview as well, like showing Ella some love. And I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah. And then after our interview, which was taped after the interview with Jody Messina, we taped it a couple of weeks ago. After we stopped rolling tape, she had some like backdoor conversation with Addison from Taste of Country, showing her some message. And we were all like, I was asking Addison, what is that? She said she's doing something special with somebody. And Addison knew. For some reason, Jody Messina told our Addison ahead of anybody else that she was going to be on that panel with Ella Langley. And Addison didn't tell me or anybody until like 2 days before the panel. So Jody Messina was so excited to find out that she was going to be talking on a panel with Ella Langley. It was amazing to me to see the switch in that. Like sometimes an artist on Jody Messina's level might be like, it's not. I'll get to meet this new up-and-coming artist. But Jody was like, I can't believe I get to sit next to Ella Langley. I love her. I thought that was really cool.
How about Addison keeping the secrets? Like, sometimes I got to remind Addison who she works for here. Like, yeah. You know, you at least got to tell us so we can prepare to cover these things.
Yeah, Addison knew it was going to be Ella Langley at the CRS thing. There's a lot of stuff Addison probably knows that, you know, more stuff than we know, you know, because the artists tend to want to, you know, give the deets to her, especially the guy artists, you know what I'm saying?
I'll tell you another one that she knew ahead of all of us. She knew Lainey Wilson had a boyfriend and who it was for a long time. And not only didn't tell us who it was, she didn't even tell us that she knew.
That's messed up. Yeah, see, that's messed up. We next week, if we remember, we need to get Addison on here and confront her.
All right, but also, to this point, like, what is it about us that we're not... Like, obviously, Jody looked at you and thought, nope. And then she looked at Addison and is like, that's a girl I can trust with this secret.
I don't know. This is a... We don't have enough time to get into that, man. This is a short podcast, dude. What's wrong with me? What's wrong with you? We'll be here forever, man.
Yeah, that feels like that could get personal and maybe a few tears shed.
But there's
okay, so this,
go ahead.
This album comes out in the summer. We just got the one song out so far. But what was interesting to me about hearing her talk about these songs is like sort of the wide variety of things she was talking about. Like she talked about that song Can Anybody being what she calls a teenager's lament. Like that's sort of next level songwriting in my mind. You're really going outside of your own worldview to write and find a song that's not only personal, but can help some people beyond just your relationship type of songs that you hear so often in country.
Yeah. And I got to say, after taking a decade off, like after having success and then taking a decade off, if it was me, like I would be nervous to like, what if these people don't like my songs that I write? You know, what if they don't want to hear what I'm up to now? So good for her for, you know, listening to what the people had to say that, you know, people want this new music, so she's going to do it. She is still a little nervous, you know, of how it'll be accepted, which is human of her. I think that's neat, too.
What do you think, realistically, the goals are for an artist like Jody Messina? Because she's 20 years removed from commercial success. She's 55, 56, somewhere in there, you know. I mean, she's unlikely to like get a number one record right with this thing unless it has a song that really pops off. Right. So like, are you just sort of looking to feed your fans and make sure you have something for the live show? Is there a metric that you're following, or is it just sort of you just want to be artistically satisfied?
I think it's for the live show and just to keep the fans going. And you know, there's a huge 90s resurgence right now, as everyone knows, and all these artists are kind of getting woken up. You know, it's different than 80s artists covering 50s and 60s songs. There wasn't social media back then. You know, now these artists nowadays that are waking up, these 90s artists and acts like Shenandoah, you know, like Joe DiMassina, like, you know, I don't know, all of them. I think it's great that they're doing that. And I feel like Joe D understands that she's in the limelight right now, like, you know, Gretchen Wilson and whatnot. So now's the time to fire it up. Just, if anything, if you don't put out new music when all this is pointing at you, people might start talking like, well, what's wrong with her? Why can't she put out anything new anymore, you know?
Yeah, Terry Clark's another one of those artists. And you know, we're in this phase now where we're celebrating like the mid to late 90s artists. And, you know, pretty soon we're going to be talking about these early 2000s hit makers, right? Because that's going to be sort of the next batter up.
Yeah.
And that'll be kind of interesting because that's when I started working in country radio. So like artists like maybe like a Mark Wills come back. Who else would be in that group? You know, Daryl Worley, although Daryl Worley's been in and out over the last 20 years, you know, that kind of, where it really turned to really kind of patriotic songs because of 9/11. I'd be curious to see if that kind of makes the same comeback or if we sort of skip a few years like we've done from time to time until we're talking to the late 2000s artists who hit big.
Yeah, it'd be hard to see someone covering like a, you know, waking up Morgan Wallen and stuff. I don't know. I think it's gonna take a lot of time.
By the way, you mentioned Shenandoah. I saw Shenandoah at CRS. Marty. He was making the rounds, man. We got to get him in.
I love that guy. Yeah, I love having them in, man. Marty. Marty from 100%
one of my favorites. He's just such a like a good spirited, like just a fun interviewer, tells good stories, like, you know, just a couple of frescas with Marty.
Wherever
from
place he's in his life, I don't know, but every question kind of his answer kind of ends up with God. You know, like that's just kind of where God put me, man. I'm here, and I'm just like, you're the man.
I mean, what a pro move that is, though, by the way, right? As like an interview, like if you just you end everything with a little, I mean, you can't rebuff anything anybody says that has God at the end.
It's very true. Oh, man. Well, thank you all so much for checking out this episode of Taste of Country Nights on Demand. Next week, we have a lovely interview that we just did with Dasha, who is so much fun when she comes in the studio. And we'll be teaming that with a new country artist that's out touring, making the rounds by the name of Ben Gallagher. And then after that, the following week, we're looking at Aaron Watson, a Texas legend, coming by, swinging by as well. So keep us on your radar there. Taste of Country Nights on Demand.